I don't know this morning. I feel a little... Is anybody feeling what I'm feeling? Amen. I like it when it's... I don't like it when it's here, but I like it when it's there. Amen. But how many of you know that this thing's not based on feelings? Even though I like to feel the presence of God, I like it when the Spirit of God is just moving in an awesome way. Amen. Let's stand our feet this morning. I want you to get out of your comfort zone. Turn around, look at your neighbor, tell them how pretty they are. Amen. This always works. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The love of Jesus. Praise God. Wait a minute now. Some of you is enjoying this too much. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you'd like to, and if you can. I want you to pray for me this morning that God will just have His way with this message today. How many of you is going to pray for me? How many is going to help me preach? I got 10 people. I need more help than that. Amen. I want to remind you before I forget about it, our VIP supper tonight. If you're a VIP, a very important person, I want you to come out at 5 o'clock for our VIP supper. I think the church will be providing the meat. If you got something you want to bring, you bring it and I'll help you eat it up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm having just a little bit of trouble getting started this morning, so I want you to pray for me. I may just sing around here for just a minute till I feel like the Spirit of God releases me to minister to you this morning. I want you to take your word this morning, hold it up in the air. If you've got a Bible, if you've got a phone, if you've just got it recorded in your mind, that's fine. I want you to hold your word up and say, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. I hope your faith will be increased this morning. Pray for me that I'll get you out as quickly as possible, make this as painless as possible. But I feel like that God has sent us a word this morning for somebody. Amen. How many of you know and realize that the preacher always gets the word before everybody else? Amen. I get it before you do. So God has already ministered to me. Now I've come to minister to you this morning. My purpose as a pastor is to feed the sheep. That's my business. I'm in the business of feeding the sheep. And I told Pastor this morning as we were standing out in the foyer, I said, I need to slip into the office for just a few minutes and try to go over these notes. And I hate to give the church a half-baked bread. So I want you to be blessed with the word this morning if I can get it over to you the way that God give it to me. If you got your Bible, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Then I want you to mark Exodus chapter 16. We'll be flipping there. I won't read the two chapters, even though I'd love to. If you're a student of the Word, you'll know these stories, and it might make some sense to you. If you're not a student of the Word, then you're on your own. Amen. Just kidding. Somebody better pray this morning. John chapter 6, I want to read verse 28 through 35, then we'll flip to Exodus. I won't be reading out of Exodus. I'll just be flipping to Exodus, so maybe you can scan over it if I say something that pertains to these verses. Maybe you can just scan over it. But let's look at John chapter 6, verse 28 through 35, and you pray for me. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who has sent him, that he has sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee what thou dost work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. I'd like to use this title this morning. You are what you eat. Look at your neighbor and say, be real careful what you eat. You are what you eat. Now, this phrase, you are what you eat, it means that it's important to eat good food in order to be healthy. Amen? Now, I know that we've all seen this nutritional pyramid that we've seen that produces the four food groups. You've got meats and you've got bread and you've got fruit and some vegetables. The four food groups that are nutritionists to the body. Amen? When Jesus was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness, the Bible said that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil come and tempted him and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen? In other words, physical food is good. We need it. It sustains the physical body. But we can't be complete without our daily portion of God's Word. Amen? Somebody pray for me. Now, everything in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of things in the New Testament. As we flip to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Now, I want to read the first three verses. And the Lord said unto Samuel, whoop, wrong verse. That's Samuel. I was in Genesis chapter 16. I was having trouble with Genesis. He said, and they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pot, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Amen? Now, if we flip over two more books to the book of Numbers, we'll also see that they're still whining in Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, saying, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Can you imagine being on a diet of this? Of leeks and onions and garlic, amen? And they could smell you when you was coming. It's kind of like going to the Mexican restaurant. I love the Mexican restaurant. I like to go to the Mexican restaurant. But if I run into somebody before I get home to brush my teeth or change my clothes, they know exactly where I've been, amen? You've been to the Mexican restaurant, amen? So they can smell you coming. So can you imagine being on a diet of this, of leeks and onions and these types of things? They complained bitterly about the lack of food that they had received. And they longed for the food in Egypt, seemingly forgetting the terrible slave conditions which accompanied that food. Now, we're going somewhere if you'll pray for me this morning. We'll try to get there in a hurry. Without a daily steady diet of God's Word, you'll never spiritually strong enough to break the chains of past bondage. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you know that the Word of God is nutrition? The Word of God is necessary. The Word of God is profitable to you for to break chains of things in your life that are past. Amen. How many have ever been in chains and bondage? As Emily sang this song, amen. I've been there. I know what it's like to be bound down by the things of the world and be under the thumb of the devil. But you know what sets you free, and you know what liberates you? It's being on a steady diet of God's Word. Now, somebody got to pray for me this morning. When the bread from heaven began to fall, the Bible said that Israel called it manna. Meaning, what is it? When the bread from heaven began to fall, they said, what is that? What is it? That's what manna means. What is it? Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. What does the Word of God mean to you? Is it just a book? Is it just a conversation piece? Is it just something that you bring to church on Sunday morning? Then after church is over, you take it home and lay it on the shelf. And what is the Word of God to you? What is manna? Now, I don't know about you, but to me, it is food to my soul. When I get up every morning at 4 o'clock, the first thing that I want to do, I don't want to read the Word of God. I want to get a cup of coffee first. Then I want to get the Word of God. But you know what? You got to have a daily diet of God's Word to sustain you throughout that day. Oh, my God, somebody better pray for me. They said, what is it? Now, I don't know about you, but when I get up and go to work in the morning, I may forget a lot of things, but I don't want to forget my lunch. I don't want to forget my lunch box or my lunch sack as I go to work. And I was thinking about that, and a lot of you are like me. You might forget your cell phone, and you might forget your wallet, but you don't want to forget that lunch box, because that's what's going to sustain you through the day as you go about your daily routine. Amen? And I thought about that as I was studying about that this morning, and I thought about as a kid and my mother. I got 5 brothers and 5 sisters, and we were kids. My mother would fix us a little old lunch bag to carry to school. We had some issues with the lunchroom back during those days, amen, and we had to carry our lunch for a while. And I never will forget, Pastor, I'd get my little old lunch bag and I'd carry it to school, and we'd set it on a shelf in our room, and all day long I'd keep looking over at that lunch bag. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I can't wait till lunch gets here. And I could always tell which one of those lunch sacks was mine, because it was the one that had them little greasy spots on the outside of it. Now, I don't know what it was that Mama fixed. It was probably a cheap imitation of some Spam or something. I don't really know. But I don't know what it was. But it was good. And I looked forward all day to lunchtime so I could get that lunch sack and eat my lunch. Amen? So that's the way it is. I don't know what the Word of God is to you, but when we get to the point that the Word of God means more to us than anything else, and it feeds our soul, then we'll start to grow spiritually. Amen? Whew. Is this my water? Now, I've done got way ahead of myself. I didn't preach half my message, but you can't go home. Amen? So what is the Word of God to you? I thought about this. I stole some lyrics from Don Williams, and it says this. And I kind of changed it up too. So he said, you're my bread when I'm hungry. You're my shelter from troubled wind. You're my anchor in life's ocean. But most of all, you're my best friend. Amen. I've got to the place, Brother Steve. Amen. I've been in this way for a long time. Amen. And I started out and I'm like, Pastor, when I got saved, God give me a love for the Word of God. Amen. He give me a desire to get in God's Word and read that Word. And over time, I seen what it was doing in my life. And I'll be the first to tell you, I ain't been perfect. Ain't always been astute of the Word like I should be. But most of the time, amen, when I get that Word of God and I get up in the morning and I begin to study it and I see what it does to my life, He's become my very best friend. This Word right here, now you can take a lot of things away from me, and I know the Bible said, I take this Word and hide it in your heart that He might not sin against you. I ain't as hardly as sharp as I used to be, Pastor. I can't remember things like I used to remember, amen. But you know what? God has blessed me with this good book. When I get up in the morning, I can go in there and get it and open it up, and I can begin to eat out of the Word of God, and it strengthens me and gives me the nutrition that I need to get through this day. Amen? What is it? Now, manna was a small, round flake. It fell in the mornings. And the Bible said that it was small and white, and it was sweet. Now, I said that everything in the Old Testament is symbolic of things in the New Testament. Amen? So this is a picture of Christ, the humility, perfection, purity, and the sweetness of the Lord. That's what the Word of God is. That's what the bread of life is. David said in Psalms 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." Amen? Now, when manna fell, it arrived in the morning, somehow connected with the dew. Now, I ain't got all this figured out. You can probably tell that by now, amen. I ain't got all this figured out. But in the morning, when the dew was on the ground, the Bible said that they'd go out in the morning, and there was these small flakes on the ground, and it was manna. And what they would do, they would gather up that manna from the dew. And dew is symbolic of God's blessing, restoration, and refreshing. Amen? So how many of you have been in that place, and it seems like you're in a dry and barren land? You can't find no drink. You can't find no food. Spiritually, I'm speaking. Amen? But then you get the Word of God, and you crack it open, and you begin to consume it, and all of a sudden, this restoration comes into your life. You're being refreshed by the Word of God. So it would fall in the morning with the dew. David said, "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth after thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And I also thought about this. I thought about this morning, and I think I asked somebody one time to sing this song, and I don't even know if they knew it or just didn't want to sing it, amen? But I thought about that song, "I Come to the Garden Alone." Now, when I was a kid, we sang this in the church, and I can't remember a whole lot of the words, but it goes something like this: "I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, amen? And the voice I hear speaking in my ear, amen? And the sound is so sweet that the birds hush their singing." Amen? And that's what the Word of God is. Amen? It is sweet, it is refreshing, and it's nourishing to our body. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. So the manna had to be gathered early in the morning before the sun melted it away. Amen? They would get up in the morning. They have to get up early. And the manna would be on the ground, and they have to gather it up before the sun come out and melt it away. And I thought this morning as I got up and I was walking down the road, and a lot of mornings I'll get up if I got time, and I'll walk up and down the road, and I'll talk to God and get that refreshing with my relationship with the Lord. And as I was walking down the road, I noticed the dew on the grass. And I thought, hey man, that's just like, could you imagine the children of Israel every morning having to get up before the frost or the dew got off the ground and gather up their food for their daily routine. Amen? God has made it so easy for us. God has made it so simple for me and you. We live in this age of high technology, and all I got to do is get my phone out and Google anything I want to do. I can pull up the Bible on my phone. Amen. I can go in my study and take out my Word. I don't even have to go out in the yard and gather it up. It's available to me. Amen. Praise be unto God. So we should feed on God's Word at the start of each day before the pressures of life crowd in on us. Amen? Now, I said everything in the Old Testament of physical type is a spiritual type in the New Testament. Amen? So they had to get up every morning and start their day out gathering up that bread from heaven. Amen. They had to gather it up. I want to tell you something this morning. Amen. This is advice, and I'm not even going to charge you for it. This is free. You don't have to take it, but it's free. You ain't going to cost you nothing. Amen. But if you'll get up in the morning and set you aside at least 30 minutes every day before you start out to your job or your school or wherever you may go, amen, I promise you, your life will totally change. Amen. Well, I have to get up real early. I do too. Amen. But if you ever got up in the morning and you was running late, amen, and you overslept. That pillow was feeling so good. Amen. And maybe it was cold outside, or maybe it was raining outside, and you just wanted to lay in there just a few more minutes. Amen. I'm guilty. And the next thing you know, you wake up, and you ain't got time to get your word. You ain't got time to eat breakfast, and you ain't got time to get ready for the day. And it seems like, Pastor, I don't know about you, but when I go out into my day, things just ain't clicking. Things just ain't working for me. There's something out of balance. Amen. How many of you know that most people say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day? Amen. Without your breakfast. And when I get to work every morning after I've had my daily dose of God's Word, I get me a bowl of oatmeal. It's the same old routine. Ask J.W. I get me a bowl of oatmeal, and I cut me up a half a banana, and I put in that, amen, and I eat that bowl of oatmeal with that half a banana. Then I take the other half, and usually 3 scoops of peanut butter I put on it, and that's my daily routine, amen. If I miss my oatmeal in the morning, I'm messed up, amen. I'm all messed up. I can't function without my breakfast, amen. Hallelujah. Saying all that to say this, manna had to be gathered just as we must feed daily on God's Word. Amen? Now, manna was gathered every day for that day and that day alone. And the Bible said, if they went out, you can read it, If they went out early in the morning and they gathered that manna up for that day, but they tried to keep it over to the next day, the Bible said that it would breed worms and it would stink. Now, like I said, I ain't got this figured out. There's something in that that I ain't seeing. But this is what I've seen in it. Amen? You can't live off of yesterday's provision. The Word of God is awesome. The Word of God is great. Amen? But you can't live off of yesterday's provision. I can't live off of yesterday morning's oatmeal. It was good. Amen? But it won't get me through today. I had to get up this morning and go through my routine. Amen? To sustain me throughout this day. Am I making any sense at all? So if they tried to keep some of it over, the Bible said it would breed worms and it would stink. But on the sixth day, they could gather twice as much to tide them over through the Sabbath. Amen? Now, when I was a kid, there was a lot of people, they would cook their Sunday morning meals on Saturday. Does anybody know anybody like that? Amen. Now, let's don't go overboard. I think that's a personal conviction. I think that was maybe some misunderstanding back then, but neither here nor there. If you do it or if you don't, it don't matter. I'm just saying. Amen. I'm just saying. Saying all that to say this. Bible study is great. Sunday school is awesome. We got some awesome teachers here, and it's good, and it's nutritional. But I'm here to tell you today, if you'll feast on God's Word for 6 days, when you get here on Sunday morning, you ain't going to have no problem worshiping. Amen? This is our Sunday morning worship service. This is the Fort Payne Family Worship Center. Sunday is for worship. Amen? A Sunday is for God's Word. Sunday is for worship. Amen? And I hope you're feeding off of God's Word now. Amen? But our purpose today is, Pastor, is to come to worship God. So if you feast on God's Word for 6 days, you won't have no trouble worshiping on Sunday. Amen? Now then, let's flip to John chapter 6. And I know it's in here somewhere. Now, the Bible said that what did the Bible say? That Jesus, if you back up and read the whole chapter, chapter 6, the Bible said that Jesus had just done a miracle by feeding the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Amen? He fed the multitude. And a lot of times people like to discredit Jesus, but I like what Jesus does. How many of you know that every word that's written in this Bible has a reason and has a purpose? Amen. He said, but 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Amen. Some people say, well, them was big old fish back then. Them was whales. Them was kind of like them fish J.W. catches. Amen. They're real big. I aggravate J.W. all the time about his fishing tails at work. But God said, with 2 fish or 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Now, that's a message in itself. But if we read verse 14 and 15, the Bible said, then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Amen. Ain't it amazing that every time they try to make a king out of Jesus, he'd disappear. But most of the time when they'd try to crucify him, he'd show up. Oh my goodness. Some of you think about that. You'll get it when you get home. Amen. So the Bible said, when he had went into the mountain alone, his disciples entered to a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And there was a storm, and Jesus come walking on the sea, and you know the story. In verse 24 says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Amen? Verse 26 said, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Amen? Jesus could have said, you didn't see the miracle that I was trying to show you. All you saw was the bread that satisfies your physical need. Now, if you back up to John 6, verse 2, it says, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Amen. Now, how easy is it for us to see a physical miracle? Amen. Now, it would be awesome if everybody in the house this morning was healed by the power of God. That would be an awesome miracle, and it would be evident, and it would encourage our faith. Amen. But Jesus was trying to show them something that they couldn't see with the physical eye. He said, I'm taking these fish, and I'm taking these loaves, and I'm breasting them, and I'm breaking it, and I'm giving it to you because I want you to see the big picture of what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. See, they had eaten the bread in the wilderness, and they had their physical appetite satisfied. And now they're looking for Jesus for more of the same. Verse 27 said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life. Amen. Now, if you ain't heard nothing I've said all morning, you need to hear this. Spiritual growth is a lifelong pursuit. Amen. You grow in spiritual maturity moment by moment, day by day, year by year. This is a process, amen, that you go through. Spiritual growth, it takes place moment by moment, whether you realize it or not. Every minute that you've been sitting here this morning, hearing the Word of God, you're growing. Amen? You may not see it. You may not see the evidence of what's taking place. But you're moving. You're being fed and you're growing. Then you're growing day by day. You may not even see no difference next Sunday when you come. Amen? But it's week by week. Amen? Then it's year by year. Then all of a sudden, amen, you start noticing something different. Amen? Spiritual maturity comes moment by moment, day by day. Spiritual exercise is like a lot like physical exercise. Now, I told Matt before the service that I was going to do this. Matt, come up here. Look at Matt Wilson. I appreciate Matt. I appreciate our associate pastor. I appreciate what he stands for, and I appreciate what he does. But when I look at Matt Wilson, I don't say, hey, Matt, do you work out? The evidence is there. The evidence is there. Now, his job requires him to stay physically fit, that he might fulfill the mission which he is called to do, and that's to keep crime to a minimum. Amen? Also, he has to stay physically fit or spiritually fit to fulfill his mission as a pastor and as a Christian to spiritually fight those battles that he runs into day after day. Amen? Sit down, man. I appreciate it. I hope I didn't embarrass you. Amen? But see, when I look at Matt, I say, God, man, how did you get there? You know what the first thing is he's going to tell me? He's going to say, there ain't no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to getting here. It starts out moment by moment. Then it's day after day. Then it's week after week. Then it's year after year. Amen. There's a process that you've got to go through. The same thing spiritually. Amen. Now, Brother Matt, this is what he could do. If he chooses to do this, he could just quit doing what he's doing. Amen. He could come in next week and I may not even notice. Amen. He may come in week after next. I might look at Matt and might not even notice. Amen. But if he eventually quits doing what he needs to do, one day he's going to come in and he's going to be sagging in all the wrong places. Amen. So true as a Christian, our spiritual body needs to be nourished by the Word of God. Now there's some... My gosh. It's the same way in the spiritual life. Amen. Now there's some people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. There was a time in your life when you were spiritually strong. Amen. You had a daily steady diet of God's Word, and you was praying, and you was exercising the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And you were spiritually strong. And you had a mission, and you had a purpose in life, and you were fulfilling that mission. But for whatever reason, the cares of this life begin to choke out the Word. Amen. And all of a sudden, you tapped out. I love to watch mixed martial arts. I love it. Matter of fact, I watched it last night. And you know what happens, amen? When they get them in that submission hold and they choke them out, and they better tap out or they're fixing to go out, amen? And the devil's got so many people under that stranglehold, amen? And he's choking you out, amen? But you know what? When I'm spiritually fit and I'm spiritually ready for the devil by feasting upon the Word of God, hey, he's not going to get me in that hold. Oh my God, now preacher, that is a mouthful. You better watch what you're saying. I choose to believe the Word of God. God said, I'm for you and I'm not against you. If you'll stay in His Word, if you'll stay on your knees, if you'll exercise your spiritual gifts, I promise you the devil can't get the upper hand on you. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, as Christians, we have a job to do. We're required to stay spiritually fit that we can fulfill the mission that God has us to do. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the devil is trying to steal your children. The devil's trying to destroy your family. The devil's trying to hurt you. I thought about last week, Steve. I had a little situation rise in my life. I thought they loved me. But they hurt me. Man, it cut me to the bone. It hurt. But you know what, Pastor? As much as I wanted to be mad at them, I tried to. I wanted to be mad. I wanted to be ugly. But you know what? God's doing something in my life. God's transforming me into His likeness and His image. Amen. How many of you know that God hardly ever notices when people does Him wrong? Come on now. How many times have you done the Lord wrong and He hardly even notices? Amen. Praise be unto God. I'm saying all that to say this. The devil is trying to destroy us and trying to destroy our family. And it's up to me and you to stay spiritually strong enough, amen, that he's not going to get us. Amen. How many of you is going to hold your hand up and agree with me this morning? A devil, you're not getting my family. A devil, you're not getting my children. A devil, you're not getting my grandchildren. Amen. I choose to stay strong in the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Where am I at? I've done passed my exit. Ron, if you'll come to the piano. I ain't through. I just need to stop. Now, I'd like to tell you that, Matt, how hard is it? How hard is it to go in there every day and load that thing down and pump it? How hard is it to stoke that furnace? How hard is it to get in there and labor and sweat? Hey, man, I'd like to tell you that it's easy to get up every morning and get your word out and just dig into it. I'd like to tell you that it's easy. But it's not. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Everybody's not doing it because it's not easy. Amen. But I promise you, the benefits of your effort far outweighs whatever you have to put into it. Amen. Hallelujah. When you exercise the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Now, we need a church that's exercising the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? I was talking to a lady the other night, and I was trying to explain to her the Holy Ghost. I couldn't put it into words, man. I can't put into words what the Holy Ghost does to me. All I know is He does it. I said, I can't rationalize it. I can't analyze it. I can't tell you about it. All I can do is accept it and believe it. Amen? When that sweet Holy Spirit blows in on me, I begin to cry like I'm crying now. And that sweet Holy Spirit starts talking out of this mouth things that I don't even understand myself. It's transforming my life. It's renewing me. It's refreshing me. It's taking me to a place, Pastor, like the song says, while the dew is still on the rose, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own. That's what the Holy Spirit is. As you stand to your feet all over the house this morning, I hope that everybody in this house this morning, you're on a daily regimen of the Word of God. I want you to get so fat in the Holy Ghost you can't get out of that door on Sunday morning. Amen. I want you to be so filled with the Spirit you're just overflowing. That's what I want for you. And that's what God wants for you. Amen. Now, I want to do this, and I thought about this morning. And I thought, this is probably what's going to happen. I don't know the mind of God, and I don't know your mind. I don't know how you react. I don't know what you do. But I thought this morning, if you're here this morning, and you're spiritually weak, I want you to come down to this altar. I want to pray for you. I want these men of God to pray for you. I want people in here that are strong in the Lord to pray for you. And And this is what I thought. I thought, well, people are not going to come down to that altar because they don't want people to know that they're spiritually weak. They won't come because what somebody's going to say and because of what somebody's going to think. That's fine. If you can deal with it, I can deal with it. Amen. But I don't want you to leave this building this morning if you're spiritually weak, without purpose and in your heart and in your mind, I'm starting today. Things are going to be different. Things are going to be different in my life. I'm fixing to get into this Word. I'm fixing to start seeking God. And I'm fixing to take back what the devil stole from me. Amen. The devil is a liar. The devil is a loser. He's a defeated foe. And there's people here this morning, and you're thinking, well, I'll never get back to where I used to be. Y'all pray for me. I'm rambling. I don't know if you remember it or not. 2 years ago, I had knee surgery. I was 191 pounds. In 6 weeks, I weighed 160 pounds. I looked like a dead man walking. And you know what? I thought mad at that time. I said, God, I'm never going to get back in hell. I'm dying. And I thought I was some nights. But you know what? I weigh 191 pounds. That's the good news. The bad news is next week I got to go to the doctor to have this other knee fixed. But you know what? I'm not defeated. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the lender, not the borrower. I can do this. I can do this. And you can do this. So as she plays, as every head is bowed this morning, if you need to pray, I want to pray with you that God will renew your strength. The Bible says those that wait upon the Lord, God shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you need to pray, this altar's open. If you don't want to come, you want to pray right where you're at. That's fine too. But if you're here this morning and you're not as spiritually fit as you once was, I want you to get down to this altar. Because I think God is going to do a work in your life this morning. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You can't go on like this. Because you're getting weak. You're getting anemic. And you're going to be subject to the attack of the enemy. Amen. So I'd get down here to this altar. I'd pick up my strength. I'd renew my strength. I'd give myself to the Lord. And I'd start a new day right here this morning. As she plays, I could get somebody to come sing. Don't care what you sing. Just want you to come and do something. Amen.